secondly, and I'll share this just briefly, the scriptures teach us that the position of Mary in the Roman Church is against the biblical teaching of our redemption. Now you say, what does Mary have to do with redemption? Well, the Roman Catholic Church teaches this, and I read this last week. I'll read it again for you to understand. Mary is the co-redemptrix of the human race because with Christ she ransomed mankind from the power of Satan. Jesus redeemed us with the blood of his body. Mary redeemed us with the agonies of her heart. The church and the saints greet her thus, you, O Mary, together with Jesus Christ, have redeemed us. That is entirely, entirely against the scriptures. That is paganism, that is idolatry, and that is totally anti-Christian. To think that God needed help in redeeming mankind. And the scriptures clearly say in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, to wit, God was in Christ redeeming the world. It didn't say Mary was in Christ. It didn't say that Christ was in Mary's heart. It says God was looking out through the eyes of Christ at the world, and as Christ hung in his own body bearing our sins on the cross, that God was satisfied with the debt that we owed him. And that's the truth of salvation. And it doesn't end there, though. Because it was a once-and-for-all sacrifice, Christ was taken down from the cross, and now we serve a risen Savior who, look at chapter 7, what he's doing. Chapter 7 of the book of Hebrews, in verse 25. On the other hand, because he abides forever, he holds his priesthood permanently, verse 25, hence also he is able to save forever those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. That's why I don't want Mary to make intercession for me because she can't. I don't want a priest to make intercession for me because he can't. Only Jesus Christ can make intercession for me. Why? Well, turn back one more book. Actually, three books. 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 5 and 6. And these are very important verses. If you know a Roman Catholic, if you have a Roman Catholic in your family, if you happen to go to different events with them, you should be prepared in your Bible to not fight with them, but to longingly, from your heart with compassion, share with them that they are worshiping another gospel, a gospel that Jesus Christ did not write, a gospel that Jesus Christ did not author. It's a gospel that has seeped in. And by the way, until the year 14 and the mid-60s of the 1400s, it really was not at a head yet. And it wasn't until 15, after the 1500s, after Martin Luther, that the Roman Church came down hard and said, okay, we won't have any more of these Martin Luthers and John Calvins and Ulrich Zwingli's and John Huss's and Wycliffe's. Boom, we believe this. And that's why before the 16th century, yes, probably a great number of the people in the Roman Church were born-again Christians. Most of those Romanists that we look at in past years were probably Catholic and not Roman because they didn't believe in the Mass. The Mass was not even introduced until 13 centuries after Christ. That's why the Roman Church of today is not the church that Jesus Christ started, nor was it the church that Peter and Paul and John and James were apostles in. It is a false church that has evolved because they denied 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 5 and 6. It says in 1 Timothy 2, 5 and 6, that there is one God, there aren't three gods, and there aren't four. Mary hasn't joined the Trinity. There's one God in three persons, Father, Son, and Spirit. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Don't let the Muslims or Jews make you look bad and say you worship three gods. We worship one God in three persons. They are co-substantial. They are of the same essence. They are distinct individual persons. But there's one God, and listen, verse 5 continues, and one mediator also between God and us, between God and mankind, between God and men, as Paul says. And who's that? The man Christ Jesus. And it says here, who gave himself as a ransom for all, the testimony born at the proper time. Jesus Christ is the once-and-for-all ransom. And the perverted teachings of paganism that have come into the church, as I shared last week, that Mary can give special protection, that Mary can give you armor against hell, and I'm reading from a rosary card with the imprimatur of Patrick Hayes, Archbishop of New York, that Mary can sanctify you, that Mary can keep you from perishing eternally, that Mary can make you worthy of eternal life, that Mary can deliver you from purgatory. There isn't even a purgatory to be delivered from. That she can give you a high degree in heaven and can obtain for you all that you ask by faith, and she can give you a sign of predestination, is all false. And the veneration of Mary is the second reason why the Roman Catholic Church is wrong. Catholicism, Christology, is heretical. It denies Christ's exclusive role as mediator. It denies the exclusivity of his redemptive work, making Mary a co-redemptrix with him. And finally, it denies the sufficiency of Jesus Christ's death on the cross for us. I want you to look for just a minute in Mark chapter 3, because some of you might not know how much the Bible does say about Mary. Mark's Gospel chapter 3. Because Jesus Christ plainly taught that Mary was on the same plane with all other Christians who would do the will of God. Now, don't listen to some father of the church. Don't listen to tradition. Don't listen to something that's been passed on for centuries and has changed all along the way. Listen to what the Lord Jesus Christ said in Mark chapter 3 and verse 31. Because he put Mary on the same level ground as you and me and every other saint throughout history that wants to do the will of God. During her whole earthly life, Mary was just a normal human being that needed to be saved. She evidenced unbelief at times in her life. She evidenced a sinful desire to promote her son. There's no doubt that Mary was as human as you and I are, and a sinner. And Jesus Christ had to confront her on various occasions. And here's one of them. In verse 31 of Mark 3, and his mother and brothers arrived. Now, isn't that interesting? Jesus Christ had brothers. We know that he had four. They're named. He also had sisters, so he had at least two. So that means Joseph and Mary had seven children. Joseph had never been married before. Mary had never been married before. Jesus was Mary's firstborn child, but not Joseph's. He had nothing to do with that child coming into the world. But Mary had at least six other children. And it says that she's standing outside with her kids. And they arrived, and they were standing outside, and they sent word to him and called him as if he should, you know, come whenever she calls. And you know what? For people that are counting on Mary to influence God the Father, they should really read this, because when Mary told Jesus, could you come on out here? I want to talk to you. Look what he responds. And the multitude was sitting around him. And they said to him, behold, your mother, your brothers, they're outside looking for you. And he answered them and said, who are my mother and my brothers? That's a very important question to be answered. Verse 34. And looking about those who were sitting around him, he said, behold, my mother and my brothers. Can you just see him going like this? Behold, my mother and my brothers. And he says, for whoever does the will of God, he is my brother and sister and mother. That means there are many mothers of Christ. There are mothers of the faith. There are godly women. There are many brothers and sisters in Christ. There's no one mother of God. There's no mother who is co-redemptrix with Jesus Christ. So secondly, because of Mary worship, it's improper to believe the doctrine of the Roman Catholic Church. There's no hint in the Bible that the New Testament Christians ever regarded Mary as more than another good woman. Now, I have to say that usually Protestants go the other way, and they almost ignore Mary. They don't even want to talk about her. They kind of, if she was in a crowd, they'd look the other way because they don't know how to handle her. But basically, Mary, as well as Hannah, as well as Huldah, the prophetess, as well as a whole host of women that are listed in the scriptures, was a godly, virtuous, exemplary, holy woman of faith who had learned that God was her Savior, that Jesus Christ paid the debt of her sins, and that she was going to serve him with her whole life, all her days. She had no authority among the apostles. No one was taught to pray to her, to do homage, to adore her, to partake of unscriptural worship, which Catholics do. but call it by other names, this unscriptural worship has brought a plague upon the church of Romanism. It's really sad to go to the Vatican. I don't remember. I think that we didn't have enough time. The stairway was broken, but we were just there last fall. But every time I go to the Vatican, I always, and 7 times I've looked over the railing into the papal gardens where the Pope walks and meditates. And right in the center of the papal gardens, and you can get a picture of this today, there's a gigantic M with a cross drawn beside it. A cross of Christ with a gigantic M for Mary, mediatrix, superimposed over that cross, all done in beautiful hedges and flowers. It's the largest thing in the papal gardens. And it's just an obvious symbol when you go to the Vatican of the elevation of Mary to an unscriptural place.